Luke 24:21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, has anyone ever told you to stop and smell the roses? A month ago today, when I last addressed you, the tour choir was preparing to leave for springtime in Texas, where the grass is green and trees are budding and blooming, flowers sending their delicate perfume floating on the breezes. That's the way it was in the springtime around Jerusalem, too. A half-hour walk from the West Gate already brought the two disciples away from the pollution of the crowded capital. At the edge of the plateau, the air seemed fresher and freer as they made their way through the rocky region. Another half-hour or so, and they could stop and look back not only on Jerusalem, but on the whole surrounding region, even as far as Bethlehem. Then they were beyond the dreary, rocky area and entering upon a beautiful valley with a babbling brook and the spring air filled with the scents of orange and lemon and olive groves. It was blossom time in the fruit belt, and it must have looked even more beautiful compared with the gloom that they had left behind. But neither of those disciples were enjoying these things that gloomy Easter afternoon. They hardly even saw them, for they walked with downcast eyes. They came to an intersection. One path curved off towards Lystra in the northwest. Another went off towards Colonia in the northeast. And straight ahead, at the end of the valley, perched Emmaus. It could have been at just this intersection that the two were joined by a stranger, not to us or the angels, but to them. And as he met them, Jesus asked them why they were sad. They said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know what has happened?" Of course, he was the only one of the three of them who did know what had happened in Jerusalem. But he asked them, "What?" And they began to tell him about Jesus. It was not that they had stopped loving him. You could tell from the way they talked about him that they had not lost their love for him. But because of events that had happened, they had lost their hope in him. "We had hoped," they said, "that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." That's why it did not matter how beautiful the countryside was or what time of day it was. We would find it hard, too, to undertake a project, wouldn't we, if we could not look forward to its completion? How much effort would we put into solving a problem if we thought it could never be solved? Would we look to God for help if we thought there was no help to be found there? And how could we ever endure hardship, or pain, or sorrow, if we could never look forward to any relief from them? These disciples thought that there would be no relief from their disappointment. We had hoped. What a world of misery is contained in those words. When we lose our forward look, we lose the strength to go on. That is why those who have pinned their hopes on earthly riches or earthly health or friends or other material things are in such despair when all these things pass away. Not just any hope is worth hanging our heart on. But where can a solid, secure future be found? Where does one find a hope that will make it possible to turn around and run all the way back to Jerusalem without supper? It cannot come merely from the experience of seeing Jesus with our own two eyes, because our eyes can be fooled. These disciples did not even recognize Jesus when they first saw him. Nor did Jesus tell them to look hard at him or ask them, "Do you recognize me?" He wanted them to remember what the Bible said. And from all the prophets since Samuel, Jesus showed those disciples how God was still in control. God had not failed. Jesus had not failed. Both victory and suffering were promised to the coming Christ in those ancient writings. This is what made their hearts burn with joy and with new hope. This made sense out of all that had happened that they had seen in the past week but had not recognized. So the new hope that now sprang up in them was not just from the fact that Jesus had somehow pulled through, but now they saw for the first time that he had accomplished what he was supposed to in all of that suffering. They could not get enough of this stranger's word, and they insisted that he come in and spend the night as their guest. Suddenly he was no longer the guest, but the host, as he had been all along, blessing and breaking the bread. Can he ever be a guest for very long in a home where he is not permitted to be the host? Then he was gone, like another tour choir, like another school year. But this time, their hope was not gone with their vision, for it was firmly grounded in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. Once again, they failed to see the beauty of the region, perhaps, because it was getting dark, because they were hurrying back to Jerusalem now to tell of a greater beauty, to tell of the hope that filled them, the hope that fills us. Amen.